The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Monica McNutt, Kevin Blackstone, Sarah Spain, Bill Plaschke.
Woohoo!
The Giannis play. All right, there's one question. Is this a walk? And then there's another question. Why don't players do this more? It continues your possession by just giving yourself an offensive rebound the other team isn't ready for. Let's go!
I think it's a walk. I think it's a travel.
Not a walk.
He gets triple-double.
Great basketball player.
Move his plan for it. It's a walk.
We'll get to that in a second. That the Golden State Warriors can now survive Draymond being Draymond. We start there. So the flagrant and the ejection. Here's Draymond Green talking about it afterwards.
I think tonight was probably a reputation thing more so than a hard foul.
Okay, that's his opinion. Steph Curry's opinion was that it was not good for the game, but the Warriors did win the game, and here's how that happened. I love this play from Memphis. Just instead of somebody just dribbling and shooting ISO, creative to get Morant full speed, he pushes, and Thompson coming over for help defense forces the miss. Tough home loss for Memphis. Morant stood under the basket, motionless for 45 seconds. We counted. Bill Plaschke? Around the horn to you, what was takeaway from game one?
So impressed with the Warriors. Steph Curry said it perfectly. Two words, championship DNA. They've got it. We saw it for the first time in the postseason. They have 670 combined playoff games. Memphis has 198 combined playoff games. You saw that down the stretch. They didn't panic. Curry, how about this? Curry and Thompson made two great plays, and neither of them are shots. They're both defensive plays. Curry makes a steal. Thompson makes a stop. They get extra second chance points. I am so convinced Golden State's the best team left in the playoffs right now after that game. They were tremendous.
And they're like the old Warriors.
I'm pumped.
They looked great, but we saw Ja make that shot, that exact shot earlier in the game, and that could have gone in, and it would have been different. So this was a close finish. They did survive Draymond being gone. I saw people dogging him for the Antonio Brown-esque departure from the game. I like that better than anger, frustration, potentially taking yourself out of further games by reacting negatively instead of sort of a little bit of clowning of that crowd and getting out of there. I think it's really incredible that they did survive Draymond being gone. He giveth and he taketh away, and in this case, they managed to figure out how to do it without him. And that's Poole. And again, that's Clay and Steph and guys stepping up on both ends of the court. And that is the experience coming through. But man, I'm not quite out on Ja being able to do Ja things for the rest of the series and make it more interesting.
Kevin Blackstone, number one takeaway.
Well, my number one takeaway is remembering what Steve Kerr said just about a week ago, right? Trying to deflate everybody's expectations about this Warriors team. And then all of a sudden you look up and Steph is talking about just what Bill said, championship DNA. And they showed it last night. And of course, Klay Thompson's going to come over and make that play at 6'7" because he has to after missing those two free throws, which you just assume that a shooter like him was going to can. So I love the play to Ja at the end. Like Sarah said, he made that shot before, but I love the defensive rotation and the preparedness that the Warriors showed to stop that play on defense.
And Monica McNutt, number one takeaway.
The Memphis Grizzlies are going to have to lock in on the mental side just a little bit, but they have the personnel to keep up and make this thing interesting. Do y'all remember how things looked at the half? At halftime in this ball game, I mean, did Jude clock DeAnthony Melton for 14 points and big-time baskets? Listen, they were this close on a shot that Ja has hit. He's been 3 of 3 in clutch-time game-winning opportunities up until that basket. So the Warriors barely got out of there. Memphis was impressive.
All right, your takeaway is that Memphis is in this one. Let's ask a second question, Monica. How much of Green's ejection was the raking of his arm, and how much of it was the Green reputation?
Percentage-wise, I'm going to go 60% reputation, 40% action. But here's the deal. You don't have to potentially hold him up by his jersey if you didn't pull him down by his jersey, which is a play that we do not see regularly in the game of basketball. So don't give me that. It was extra. It got an extra penalty.
AB, were you okay with that being an ejection?
Well, it would have gotten him 15 yards in NFL for a horse collar tackle, right? But I thought that he nailed it. I mean, this was reputational. When you look at it again, it doesn't look that horrendous. But like Monica said, it's not a basketball play, and that's what comes into play here in the end. Mm-hmm.
We've been horned. We'll move on. Bucks rolling the Celtics yesterday. Here's the Giannis play again. By league rule, it is legal. Whether it's a walk is pivotal to, I guess, the referee, but it's legal. Whether more players should do it, I guess I take that back, because maybe only Giannis pulled this one off. How Milwaukee had their way and took home court in this series, and how Boston didn't exactly look like the Boston from round one or even the last 3 months of the season. Monica McNutt around the horn to you. Number one takeaway here.
Giannis has got the game under his control in terms of the pace and what is called for. Even though he didn't shoot well and you look at his field goal percentage, his ability to find his teammates and credit his teammates for knocking down shots at a high level. I mean, 28 points in transition for the Bucks. A lot of that is Giannis, but a lot of that was his assist as well.
Conventional thinking was that without Middleton, Milwaukee would have to do more work than usual to win this series and this game, Monica. If I can go back to you, they didn't have Middleton, and Giannis did not have his best game either. Did this win have you thinking this series may go differently?
It does, Tony. I'll be honest. I was of the camp that thought the Middleton absence would mean more.
Well, thank you very much for bringing that up. Okay.
Well, but then you roll out the starting lineups, and I'm looking like, Wesley Matthews, wait a minute. He's a dog on defense. This is not going to be an issue as much as I thought. So here we are.
So Milwaukee's defense is what you're honing in on. Kevin Blackstone, around the horn to you.
Well, what I think Giannis has proven in the last several games is that he can take his game to a level that we hadn't really thought of. I mean, he is now a great, great player. The fact that you can lose an all-star in Middleton and still take over a game like he does. And then I think back to what the Cs were able to do with Kevin Durant. The one thing Kevin Durant, my favorite player, can't do that Giannis can do is bully people with those shoulders, right? And just play a physical game. And then like Monica said, every time he had to pass the ball, he passed it perfectly. He found guys for open jump shots, made the threes nice and easy. So he can just impart his will on a game in a way that I don't think I really understood before. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make an executive ruling here, though, because the man's been MVP years ago. He's already won a championship. The idea that we're still just figuring out whatever you said, he's really, really good at being a complete player. I mean, come on, Stone. Let's go around that horn. Sarah Spade, I turn to you. Take away from game one.
I don't mind the comparison, though, because what I was going to say is Giannis had his third worst shooting night of his playoff career and still got a triple-double. So to KB's point, Kevin Durant was a guy who had bad games and he didn't affect the game enough when he was off, whereas Giannis could have an off shooting night and still dominate with a triple-double like that. That's huge. And defensively, okay, the Milwaukee Bucks are always going to take away the inside. They're always going to make you work on the outside. It worked extremely well in this case, only 10 shots inside the three-point arc for the Celtics. I don't know that they'll be able to replicate that exactly. If I were the Celtics, I would say we were a 28-point lower offensive rating than our average against the Bucks this season. This is an anomaly. Put it behind us and move forward. I'm not saying it is, but that's what I would be using if I was the Celtics, because I think they can absolutely perform better offensively, even with the Bucks defense.
And Bill Plash.
I know this is blasphemous here, but this is about more than just Giannis. This is about Brooke Lopez. This is about Bobby Portis. This is about an interior defense that set it all up for Giannis, that bullied the Boston had the worst paint offense in playoffs in the last 5 years. Like Sarah said, imagine only 10 two-point shots. The defense set everything up for Giannis. They gave him they were so lost offensively, the Celtics got lost in transition. Giannis got the kind of assists that he's never gotten before. That's what got him the triple-double. I think Milwaukee's defense turned it up, but I don't think this series is over at all. I think Boston can and will make adjustments to this.
No one was saying it was over, Bo. You even invited that. I'm not saying it's over just because you thought everyone expected you to say it was
make
over.
Make sure everybody knows
Spade
that.
Last word after the horn.
Yeah, none of us did mention Marcus Smart, and we're already hearing that he's likely questionable for game two, so that is very worth keeping an eye on. It may get even tougher for the Celtics.
We could stop down for a second, though. Did I chide Mr. Blackstone too vehemently here for coming to the conclusion that Giannis is a really, really great player, or a great, great player, as he said?
think his game has evolved.
His game has evolved. I don't think anyone's saying it's not evolved. That's my point. I mean, we'll move on. Heat Sixers game one tonight. Bill Plaschke, you gave us a great stat before the show. Credit where credit is due. Mentioning that Philly's plus minus when Joel Embiid has been out recently and Harden's been the one on the floor. Minus 10. That's a lottery team talent. So the Philly is the first two games without Embiid. Going into Miami, where the expected high temperature is culture. Sarah, can the Sixers survive the first two games without Embiid? And what's on the line tonight for Mr. Harden?
First of all things to happen when Doc Rivers' team puts a team away definitively up 29. Oh, we didn't blow it. You thought we were going to blow it. Oh, but we did blow pulling our star out of a game that was already decided.
You would have lifted him. You believe they erred.
I absolutely would have lifted him. This, yeah, I think they're in big trouble. I think we better see Maxey dominate, because if this is going to come down to whether James Harden can be the James Harden of old, it's not going to go well for the Sixers. Yes, he's been a good facilitator, but Joel Embiid has been the engine that makes this go. And when he's been out, to Kevin's point, a minus 10 during the playoffs, a minus 6.8 in the 44 minutes in the regular season. And this is the first game without Embiid at all where James Harden's going to have to lead the way. He's just not that guy anymore. Prove me wrong, I guess, James. Everyone in my menchies is going to get mad at me, but I'm looking forward to what happens here.
You gave Kevin credit for Bill Plaschke's stat. How dare you?
Thank you,
Sarah Spade. Go ahead, Plaschke.
Yeah, no, I think Sarah's right, though. This series, I don't see how they can win without Embiid. Again, James Harden can't do it himself. Bam is incredible inside. The Heat have the second-best defensive team in the playoffs right now. They're going to win the first two games and cruise. But I don't blame Doc for leaving Embiid in the game. After all he's been through, if he'd taken him out of that game, I don't care how many points it is, and they lose that game, are you kidding me? He had to close that series out. Embiid had to be in that game. It was just a freak accident.
Monica McNutt.
Tonight, Miami continues to roll. I just don't see it. Like, I'll even add, not just Maxey would have to go off, but give me Tobias Harris and Matisse Thybulle turning into an offensive juggernaut that allows James Harden to have 15-plus assists. I don't see any of those things happening. The Miami Heat are on a mission.
Kevin Blackiston.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Miami Heat's defense is too tough. The one thing I would say, though, about leaving Embiid in is that he has this history of having to miss playoff games because of these injuries. I mean, this is like that Pulp Fiction freak occurrence thing that happened again. And so up 29, I'm thinking, man, you might want to sit this guy down, not because you're thinking he's going to get hurt right then, but just because he's so critical to everything you want to do. So now I think they are in trouble until he comes back.
Monica McNutt.
If you buy Doc's explanation, which I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, he was on his way to go get Joel Embiid. And I will say, in the last couple of weeks, I appreciate Doc breaking down what has been sort of the narrative around him. The only thing that would make it better is if he did it on his Instagram Live. Oh, no!
Pulp Fiction, Lexan, just because you are a character doesn't mean you have character. So, a final ruling on the Giannis. Was it a walk? Or is it legal? No. Blackstone, make a ruling.
No travel.
Pedestrian.
It's pedestrian. That's the most athletic.
Legal.
That's the most athletic play we've seen. Oh, pedestrian. Look at you. There it is. Let's go around the horn by yourself.
No, that's clever.
Not a walk.
He was walking.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
We've been away a few days, so big picture, buy or sell. You ready? The NFL draft. You want to pick a winner? Great, it's your right. You have to pick a loser, too. And you have to recognize it all means your points might be on layaway because we don't know the answer for 3 to 10 years. Or maybe I should just go back to the 2012 show we did now and see how everybody's draft winners did. Bill Blaschke, around the horn to you. Biggest winner of draft week.
You will know the answer next year. This winner is so big. The Philadelphia Eagles were the team that made the most impact immediately. They left the draft day having picked up a 24-year-old wide receiver who has 24 touchdowns in the last three seasons, A.J. Brown. They got Jordan Davis. They got N'Kobe Dean from Georgia, two of the leaders of the great Georgia Bulldog defense. They're the favorites to win the NFC East right now because of this draft.
The NFC East, okay. Sarah Spade, how about you?
I do think the Eagles is a great answer. I'm going to pick from the heart, and I'm going to go Jets and Lions because of the empathy trait that I have for places that just need it to go well. And when you have those places that are universally panned for how they do things so often, when they do well and when the initial grades are awesome, I'm hopeful, especially Aiden Hutchinson being a hometown guy, someone who wants to go to the Lions and is excited about it. That's cool.
Yeah, the black is tall.
Well, everybody's talking about possibilities when you talk about the NFL draft, and I'm going to give you the sure thing. The Georgia Bulldogs benefited more from this NFL draft than any team in the NFL because now they can say, I can give you a national championship, and I can also guarantee you that you're going to go in the first or maybe second round of the NFL draft. How is that for Kirby Smart when it comes
to Georgia's good.
Recruiting?
I believe we have that established already, though. Pick a winner from the draft from the NFL side.
All right, from the NFL side, I will probably go with the Baltimore Ravens. I think they did an outstanding job helping out their team all the way around. And the loser I'll give you is Justin Fields because he got absolutely zero help when it came
right
to the offense.
Fade. All right, and Monica McNutt.
All right, so bear with me here. Sneaky, I kind of like what the Arizona Cardinals did.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, you mentioned Philly adding a receiver. Listen, the Cardinals, they get Hollywood Brown, and then you go Trey McBride as a tight end who I think has an opportunity now to learn.
But hold on a second. Okay, I'll allow that. But the idea they got Hollywood Brown when minutes later,
yes,
A.J. Brown was available. And Monica, please, floor is yours. You're back in.
Yeah. Well, the college teammate thing has bared good fruit in the NFL as of late, so let's lean in on that one, maybe, perhaps, and the speed. I mean, it works with what the Cardinals already do.
Loser of the draft, Plashke, real quick.
Well, I think the loser there right now is Monica McNutt saying Hollywood Brown.
Wow, Plashke,
that's the first round draft. They think it's a first round pick for a guy who can't catch a
pass. All right, real quick, since I alluded to it, the 2012 draft, we had a panelist saying Ryan Tannehill would be better. All right, Ryan Tannehill was Tim Kalishaw's pick. That would be the big winner. So Kalishaw.
Yeah.
And was it Blackstone that said Washington was set up at quarterback for the next two decades with RG3?
Oh, no.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, no.
Oh, and Plaschke liked Trent Richardson and Justin Blackman. Oh, my goodness. No, I made that up. Okay. We'll move on. Buy or sell two, Stanley Cup playoffs. Bruins, Hurricanes, Lightning, Maple Leafs, Blues, Wild, Kings, Oilers kicking it off. This is big picture. Buy or sell, baby. Include tomorrow's games if you want, friends. Let's live a little. Who are you buying going in, Sarah?
A lot of people like the Avs, but I'm going with the Panthers. They only lost 3 home games all year. And I just want to see Joe Thornton, 42 years old. He had such a great career with the Sharks, with the Bruins. Like, this could be the shot. I think that'd be such a good story.
You're going with the President's Trophy winner. Blackstone, how about you?
I'm going with the Avalanche. I mean, it seems like everybody is. They were almost from wire to wire the best team in the league. Don't have too many places that you look at on their team that you go, that's a question mark. They got 4 guys scored 80 points or more this season. I like their versatility. I like what they've done all year.
Monica, is there a number one storyline for these playoffs you're looking into?
I'm checking in with the New York Rangers. I think goalie play is going to be huge, particularly in the first round. Shesterkin is playing great ball. And then Pitt is down their number one guy in Jerry. So looking to see what the Rangers can pull off.
All right, going with the goalie is very good. Playing great ball, not exactly what you want in hockey.
Oh, ball, puck.
It may be
puck,
great puck.
Great puck. Great puck.
Great Bill Plaschke, how about you?
I hate to agree with KB, but I'm also agreeing with the great Emily Kaplan, who's picking the Avs. I'm picking the Avs. Darcy Kemper has been great in goal. the 480-point scorers. Kale McCarr, named after the great vegetable. He'll be one of their best.
I don't know if that's true, but that's the way to get to my heart.
Now that I'm locked into Toronto, Tampa in the first round, I mean, that's the series you want to see. Tampa going for three straight. Toronto trying to win in the first round. All right, fine. I'm not gonna color your picks here. Sarah Spain, Monica McNutt. Oh, puck. Flashy Blackstone. Showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kevin Blackstone, Bill Plaschke, OGs of Around the Horn. OGs for
yeah,
your
baby.
Emojis. So this is the 75th showdown matchup ever between these two. And the head-to-head, Blackstone 38, Plaschke 36. Good
ancient
luck,
rivals.
Maverick Suns, game one tonight. What these two teams proved in the first round, playing without Booker and Doncic for chunks of the series. And what curiosities and dark arts the second round holds for all. Plaschke, make the case for your pick tonight in the series.
I'm taking the Suns tonight and the Suns in the series, mostly because of Bridges and Crowder can stop Luka. You stop Luka, you stop the Mavs. Suns win in six.
Maybe.
Well, I'm going with the Suns, and mainly because they're healthy again with Booker coming back. I love Devin Booker's game. He's a winner. He's a warrior out there playing injured when he didn't have to. I love Devin Booker and the Suns.
Stop, Luka stopped the Mavs. Point, Bill Plaschke. We'll move on. Showdown 2, fan catches from over the weekend. Making the catch, but spilling your beer all over your neighbor. Or diving for the catch and revealing to the world you're wearing jorts and shacks. Look at his feet. KB, who announced their presence in the most affecting way?
Oh, it's got to be the guy in the jorts. And I got no problem with that. I mean, they're just jeans, just denim cut off in the shorts. But do you know how much a beer costs on average at a Major League Baseball park right now? Don't waste your beer. Just go buy a baseball, for goodness sake.
KB, I know what jorts are. I've got three pairs of them in my drawers right now. So you don't have to explain that to me, my friend. But I go with the beer. The beer shower on the girlfriend, that was classic. That's something they'll have forever. When they get married, they'll show it at their wedding.
Bill Plaschke, I don't need to explain it to you, my friend. 30 seconds of fame.
Yeah, I want to say kudos to Clayton Kershaw of the Dodgers. Saturday night, Dodger Stadium, he passed Don Sutton to become the Dodgers' all-time strikeout leader. They gave him a curtain call on the mound. They gave him a second curtain call on the mound. They gave him a third curtain call coming off the mound. It shows what it means to play at a place for 15 years, going through all ups and downs, and now Clayton Kershaw is the greatest pitcher in Dodger history. He's passed Sandy Koufax. Koufax would be great for Kershaw for a career, for a lifetime.
Hold on a
Kershaw.
Second.
Kudos to
Game
you.
Game 7 of the World Series. Who are you starting, Kershaw or Koufax?